Hey everyone, we are live for our Sunday weekly warm-up. It is Brad Hughes and I getting to hang out and welcome you in to hopefully the wonderful week ahead. Brad and I know that many of you, especially those in the States, might be celebrating a very special Thanksgiving coming up here. But regardless if you have students this week, maybe you have professional development days this week, maybe you have the entire week off, we are thrilled to get you warmed up and ready for the great, great week ahead. Brad and I have a lot in store for the show, including something that will require everyone in the audience, all of our Teach Better family in the comments. You will need like a whiteboard or a piece of paper and a marker or something. So we got started a few minutes early to give you a second to go get those resources. We'll be right back. Welcome to our Sunday weekly warm-up. And as we're just getting started, I am excited for those of you who did your homework assignment. You have a whiteboard or a piece of paper with you. Brad, we're getting into all the fun. How are you doing?
Doing great. Doing really well. And happy Thanksgiving, Ray. I hope you and family are going to have a wonderful holiday weekend coming up. Is that tomorrow? What's the Thanksgiving celebration all about?
Yeah, so the Thanksgiving that is happening in the U.S. always falls on a Thursday, but right. Your Thanksgiving always falls on a Monday. Isn't that true, Brad?
That's right. Back in October, we celebrate Thanksgiving in Canada in October. Thanksgiving Monday, and this is a really big kickoff to a holiday season in the U.S., isn't it? With the Thursday, Thanksgiving, Black Friday coming up, and all kinds of holiday stuff and nonsense coming up in the Hewitt household, as well as households around the U.S.
Yeah, no, I can't complain. I am excited because this week is very focused on teacher professional development. Our team is very busy this week because so many different school districts need support and have professional learning days Monday and Tuesday this week in the U.S. So I know a lot of us are traveling and doing crazy things, and I have professional development I'm doing Monday and Tuesday next week. So before the holiday kicks in, we're getting everything all ready.
Where will you be this coming Monday and Tuesday? What's coming up for you?
Yeah, so I have a free professional development session that I'm doing on Monday for, you know what, Brad, I don't know where the school is, but it's virtual. So I'm popping into this school and giving them a free hour and a half workshop using our Teach Further model, which is bringing the community into the classroom and getting to engage that way with teachers that are striving to make learning dynamic and fun. Mm-hmm. And Tuesday, I am actually at a school district in Illinois. And Brad, we designed a completely personalized professional development for the, yes, that's where I am. Ottawa, there we go, Ohio.
Right there.
See, the comments are always so helpful. But yeah, so we designed a very special professional development we're doing on Tuesday for a school in Illinois, all focused on formative assessment. And since I have been working on this with the school district, I have had like three other school districts, completely no affiliation, bring up that they're looking for formative assessment support. So I think people are just hungry for that topic right now.
What do you think it is about, where we are situated in terms of education or districts or as educators that makes districts hungry for more information about formative assessment?
Yeah, you know, Brad, I think it's just the time of year. You know, by November, the teachers, the administrative staff, we've all kind of used the go-to tools in our toolkit, and we're looking for fresh ideas. So all the different district leaders I've spoken to are just looking to reinforce the basics of formative assessment, and then also almost inundate teachers with so many different mediums and modalities in which to do that, that I think it's actually a really good brainstorming, bringing back to the forefront the skills that we probably mastered a long time ago, but bringing back up those conversations around how to get information out of students to then decide how well they know the information before moving forward.
Well, how powerful to involve our students and their voice and their expertise in developing our learning goals. And that's, you know, one of the big takeaways for me in terms of formative assessment is gathering as a community to find out what the community knows, is interested in, is passionate in, and then that begins to drive your instruction, begins to drive how you make instructional decisions.
Well, and we can get information out of our students so through so many different ways, but I think the biggest concern that at least the schools I'm working with on Tuesday are focused on is then what do you do with the information? And and what I've learned through some great reflection with teachers before we're implementing this on Tuesday is that if your formative assessment is not extremely strategic in identifying a teeny, teeny, tiny target, a key objective for your formative assessment, then regardless of what information you get, you may not know what to do with it. Whereas if you are extremely aligned and you know exactly what you're hoping to get out of your student population taking this formative assessment, it's really quick for you to evaluate if they need support, if they need reteaching. And I think that feedback piece is sometimes what we miss about the value of the formative assessment. It's not just giving the quiz, it's not just giving the exit slip, but when you get the information, can you evaluate it easily enough and quickly enough to move forward strategically?
Well, one of the key things that we may tend to miss as educators about the purpose of assessment is it is to inform and improve our teaching. It's not necessarily to find out what kids know or don't yet know or how successful they are or might not yet be. It just gives us information about what our kids need, aligned with standards, aligned with what the best practices are, but it informs our teaching.
Yes, absolutely. And Brad, I'm very excited because as we get into the show, I have a little game for you and I to play, and we're going to see how well we have shared information between the two of us. I'm a little nervous about it, but I'm very excited. This game was brought up yesterday. I have a whole story about it. So I'll tell you more about that. Before we get into any of that, Brad, how was your weekend? Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. Great weekend. Ray, did you catch any of the Las Vegas Grand Prix this weekend? Big event in Las Vegas.
It was huge in Las Vegas. I actually completely missed it. I didn't know it was at midnight, like truly. And wow, I caught the recap. There's this great channel on YouTube I follow that will recap the races. And it looked like, for those of you who may not be into Formula One, this would be the race to watch because there was a lot of action.
And a lot riding on it too. A marquee event for Formula One. The first Grand Prix in Las Vegas since the 1980s. And not just held in one of the casino parking lots as they did over 25 years ago. It was held right along the Las Vegas Strip. So tons of infrastructure changes, tons of potential for marketing, for exciting people about the glitz and glamour of Las Vegas. But it all comes down to great racing. And Ray, I have to say, the track was amazing. The racing was fast, so fast. Lots of position changes, lots of passing was available. Conditions were a little bit slick, so there's a little on the edge of, you know, you want things to be safe, but a little bit of danger in there. And
some danger.
Yeah, that's right. And a great win for world champion Max Verstappen. And I'm not sure, are you a Ferrari fan in your household?
Oh, yes. And watching the Ferrari game throughout that race was insane. I actually wasn't happy, Brad, because I didn't see the race until obviously I got up and got my coffee. Right. But I popped open my phone and the first thing on my phone, spoiler for some of you, was that Norris was in the hospital. And I was like, wait, I don't even know what happened. Don't tell me that Norris was injured. Like, hold on. And then, of course, you see the crash and you're like, yeah, I would go to the hospital for that too. That makes sense. He's totally fine.
Yeah, he had a fairly significant crash. Turns out he's okay, which is a real blessing. And Norris and another driver did not finish the race, but incredible last lap, last second, final turn takeover by Charles Leclerc over Sergio Perez to take second place on the podium. Incredible finish.
So good. I also want to give a shout out to Brian, who's always here watching the show on Sundays. Man City, his soccer team in the English Premier League did really well. So good for you. Hate saying it because my team is not doing so great, but we will improve.
We're continuing to watch Welcome to Wrexham, the story of Ryan Reynolds and his partner, and just getting deep into the culture and the traditions of the Wrexham neighborhood and of of the city of Wrexham, as well as the football club and all things Welsh. So we're talking about culture, history, language. It's pretty incredible.
Have you seen the most recent episode? Because we can't spoil it for anybody, but the most recent episode maybe was the best episode that ever aired in the entire 2-season documentary thing.
Really, really incredible. So, I mean, there's so much going on in terms of media awakening us to incredible places, incredible events, philanthropy, athletics, and it's just a great time to be a media consumer and a fan of all things sports.
Yeah, I was going to say, Brad, I feel like we're doing a sports segment now on like the Sunday, you know, weekly warm-up sports segment. We could talk about the Bears played today. I have no idea if they won or not. Sorry. I think the Jets and the Bulls? It's not the Bulls, the Chicago Bulls, but the Bills. The Bills and the Jets are playing right now. What else happened? Indiana University played this weekend. I don't know any outcomes. I just know that the things happen. So anyone in the comments, feel free to let us know if you have a sport that you follow. Anything good that happened this weekend is something Brad and I love to celebrate.
Brian's reporting Cleveland beat the Bears on the last second field goal. That'll be great news for our buddy Jeff Gargis. Yes. Bad news for anyone who's following the Bears.
I mean, it's good. I'm getting text saying, the Bears lost, by the way. I'm like, thanks. Keep texting. Feel free. Brad, was your weekend obviously full of sports? Did you get any good family time, walk outside? Our weather's been amazing.
It has been lovely weather this weekend, Ray. We've had a change in the weather. We had beautiful weather in the 50s and low 60s this past week. And then a cold front moved in. We have temperatures around, you know, I'm going to say the high 30s right now, and crisp, sunny, you know, beautiful late fall weather. We went to see the new movie, The Marvels, on Friday night. So we had some family time out to see The Marvels movie, and of course, the Grand Prix weekend, and continuing to just work things out in the workshop this weekend. Just lots of projects going on.
So can I ask foolishly, because clearly I'm ignorant to this and I did not partake, but because the race was at 12 a.m. and you're East Coast, this was not an East Coast time, was it? Was it?
Not at all. No, it's hard to figure out who might have been watching it live, except for the folks that were actually in the stands.
Right. I was going to say, did you watch it live or did you watch it in the morning?
No, we watched it. We watched it early morning. So yeah, so we got it on the PVR, and then we were up early, 6:30, almost 7 o'clock. The coffee was on, and fresh muffins were on hand, and we enjoyed the qualifying the day before yesterday and the race this morning.
So I would love to ask, before we transition here into our Sunday strategies, anybody in the comments, what would need to be happening for you to be willing to stay up and partake in whatever the event is at midnight? Like, assuming it's starting at midnight. So there's obviously some events prior, obviously then you have whatever the event is, and then maybe some after excitement. I can only think of one thing, and I will announce that when we get back. So Brad, make sure you have an answer for something that you would be willing to stay up to midnight to find out. We'll be back. Welcome back to our Sunday weekly warm-up. We are thrilled to be here, streaming exclusive in our private group for our special Sunday show. As many of you know, if you're catching this after the fact, we do restream our conversation on Monday evenings to everyone in our Teach Better family. But we love being able to be here exclusive in our private group so that you can not only engage with us here on screen, but also so you can engage with each other in the comments. Brad Hughes in the house, of course, making Sunday even more special. And Brad, we were recently discussing right before that commercial, what you would stay up to midnight, what event you would stay up till midnight to experience. What would be your answer?
If my Toronto Maple Leafs were playing in the Stanley Cup final, maybe West Coast team, I would absolutely stay up late to watch that. I was tempted to stay up ready to watch the Las Vegas Grand Prix live and sort of reflecting on the race. It's a lot more enjoyable for me if I can watch it live, but it was just not going to happen. But yeah, I'm special event. Brian says World Cup soccer. If that was on, that's something I would stay up to watch, especially if it was a final and have done that. And maybe not just TV, but, a special event, big Taylor Swift fan here. So, when Taylor drops her Midnight's album at midnight, you might see me staying up to make sure I get that download and see what's going on and join in with all of the others that are sharing that excitement at that time. So what's coming up for you? What would make you stay up that late?
Yeah, I won't lie. I feel like the cheating answer was New Year's Eve. I was waiting for everybody to put that in the comments. We all stay up till, well, we don't all, but we could, and many of us choose to stay up. I will say, foolishly, Katie Meiglin, when she had her baby. If, by the way, I don't know that we've talked about it on the show.
No,
Katie
not yet.
Officially had her baby. For those of you who don't follow her on social media, Katie Meiglin, incredible Teach Better team member, had her baby. If she had the baby at midnight, which she did not.
Right.
She had her baby in the afternoon. But if she had her baby at midnight, I would have stayed up to make 100%. Sure, because I was dying to know the name and gender. And she made me wait a long time to find out. So if there was an option to stay up till midnight and find out, no doubt I would have been up drinking coffee, ready for the excitement.
Cuteness overload, baby Hazel. Welcome to the world, baby Hazel. And congratulations to Katie and Matt and their family. Party of five now. And very, very happy and healthy baby in the house. That's wonderful, wonderful news.
Oh, so good. She's living that best mama life. Hazel even slept through the night only with one wake up the other day. So I think really? That, she's the favorite child. Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. And when I've seen the pictures that Katie and Matt have shared, and you couldn't ask for two prouder big sisters, just beaming, just their smiles from ear to ear and just relishing that opportunity to welcome a new life into the world and to know that they are going to be irreplaceable in Hazel's life. It's just wonderful.
So fun to have two big sisters to take after. So good. For any of you looking to celebrate the Meiglin family, of course, feel free to DM Brad and I if you need her contact information. Mm-hmm. But she would very much always love a Teach Better team green heart thrown her way in direct messages or whatever else you guys are comfortable with. But everyone is very happy, healthy, at home, enjoying all the good snuggles and enjoyment of having a newborn at home. So fun. Brad, you haven't had a newborn at home in a long time. So I'm sure that is a little nostalgia for you. I actually want to bring up something that might have even more nostalgia with it. Are you up for a game?
100%. Yeah, I'm ready. I've got a number of pens. I can write in different colors. I've got something to write with. I'm ready to go. Yeah. How about you?
I am so stoked. So friends, I went to a Friendsgiving last night and we played the newlywed game. I would like to bring it to the work environment of how well do we all know each other? And I would love to see all of you participating in the comments, because I do know the Teach Better family continues to grow closer and closer, especially those a part of our Sunday weekly warm-up. We always have, so many wonderful people joining us, either commenting during the live show or after the fact. So definitely participate along with us. Brad, I don't know all the rules, but essentially the goal is we bring up a question and then we need to decide who's answering it for themselves and who's answering it for the other person. And I kind of think we could go back and forth. The way it was played last time was not in couples. It was just all these wonderful people getting together. And we got in pairs and we each got a color, like a red person and a green person. Okay. And that's how they determined who we were answering for. So it was really fun. You could play this in the classroom. You could do this during family get togethers. It was an interesting way to see how well we know each other. And Brad, although I think we've only met in person twice.
That's right.
We have hosted a weekly show together for about 2 years. So I feel like we should be able to do this.
I think we can give it a shot and we can have a lot of laughs along the way too. That's always fun.
All right. Yeah. I'm excited because I was looking through these and I'm like, I don't know that I know any of them for you, but I don't know that you know any of them for me either. So, Okay, let's go basics. We're going to go back and forth, you and me. Okay. Obviously we both have to answer both times, just it's about somebody. Do you want to be first or do you want me to be the first person that the question has to do with? Is that the right way to explain it?
Yeah. And I'd like you to, I'd like that to be you.
Okay. Then the first one we're going to do is, am I a good cook? So I'm going to answer, am I a good cook? You are going to answer, is Ray a good cook? And if our answers match, we get a point.
Okay.
Okay. I feel like we need music. Hold on. Okay. I have my answer. I think we do also have music. Wait, what if we did this? Ready? All right. Next time we'll do it. Are you ready?
Ready.
One. Oh, wait, maybe you should answer first because you're the one doing it on me. What did you say? You said yes? Oh, no, Brett. We stink at this game. I said not a chance.
Okay.
All right. We're going to do this again. Next one should be for you, right, Brett?
Okay.
Okay. If people had to listen to you talk all day, what would you most likely spend your time talking about?
If
Brad Hughes had a live show all day long, what would Brad Hughes be talking about? I have it. I would play music too. All right. Do you have your answer?
I do.
Okay. I want to see people's time, like answers in the comments too. But Brian says he has to go to bed. Night, Brian. No, I'm just kidding. He had to go to bed New Year's Eve. You can stay up for the show. Okay. I think Brad would spend his entire time talking about maple syrup.
Oh.
Is that not right?
I could. Yeah. I wrote connections. I can just talk about connections for hours and hours and hours. The power of connections and relationships. So maple syrup is close second.
We have to figure out how to match, Brad. We're trying to get points here. All right. All right. For me.
Yeah.
Who's the person that inspires Ray the most? Oof. Oh. Oh, wait. I wanted music. I got all distracted.
Oh, boy.
Got your answer?
Nope. Have you got yours?
I do. I wrote mine down. Who inspires me the most? But I feel like now that you don't have an answer, maybe I want to switch.
I wrote down Epec Williamson, who was our guest 2 weeks ago, but maybe not the most. She's inspiring, but has inspired you recently, but I'd like to know your answer.
Man, and I just talked to Lindsay Titus. She's amazing. We have so many great people. I wrote Jeff Gargis. Yeah. Don't tell Jeff.
Okay.
Don't tell Jeff.
Done.
Okay. We're going to have to, maybe the comments should help us. If you're in the comments, Brian said Katie Miglin. That would have been a really good one. All right, Brad.
That was on the tip of my tongue.
That was a good one. Yeah. Okay. Brad, this is about you. What was Brad's favorite childhood meal? Oh my God. Brad, we're not going to get any points in this game. Brad's favorite childhood meal. Man. Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. This is your answer. You said pizza.
Yep.
I guessed muffins. We're stinking at this, Brad. Oh my gosh. All right. We're doing three more of these and we have to at least get one point. One point. Okay. This is for me, right?
Right.
What did Ray want to be when I grew up? So when I was a kid, what did I want to be when I grew up?
I think I might know that.
You have an answer?
I do.
All right, go ahead.
I wrote dancer.
answer. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Point. Oh, I'm so thrilled. Anyone else in the comments get a point? All right, Brad, this one's for you. Does Brad have any allergies? That's the question. Does Brad have any allergies? Do you have your answer? Oh, yes. I said yes. One is pineapple, I think. Don't you have a pineapple allergy or a fruit allergy?
I'm allergic to mango. Yeah.
Mango
and a bunch of other weird stuff. Yeah. But yeah, boy, do I have allergies.
I knew between you and Brianne Fennell, who's on our team. Shout out to Bree, who, if she's listening with us, I knew one of you was pineapple and one of you were mango, and I didn't remember which one you were. Bree's allergic to pineapple then.
Katie Miglin, bless her heart, when we had our Teach Better retreat and she was in charge of the menu planning, I think she was really, really worried about either me or Bree having an allergic reaction. Because when you're in charge of the menu and you're welcoming people in from all over the place, anyway, everything worked out great. But I just I always remember the care and concern that Katie had about that.
Oh, I could not have had that stressful job. Brad, this is a good one to wrap up on. And then I want to talk about how you can use this game in the classroom. We're both going to answer. And I think we'll determine the winner. Obviously, if you write the same one, that would be great. But maybe you and I will each give ourselves a point if whoever has the more correct answer. We're going to see how this goes. Okay. This says, what is your first memory together? First memory together, you and I.
Ooh, okay.
I feel like you didn't write one down.
No, I'm still trying to think it through.
Brad needs more time. Brad, you can get a little bit more time. We'll play rock music.
Can I phone a friend?
No, unless you can have the comments, but they're not going to help 50, you.
50-50?
Nope. Good luck.
Okay, I've got lots of question marks here because I...
Okay, are you going to share first? 12-hour live. Maybe. Oh, that's not what I have. Do you have a year that you want to add to that? 2021, I think, right? 12 that's hour right. live or 2020? Yep. We did 2020 12 hour live.
Mm-hmm.
So which one? He has no idea.
Drawing a blank.
Totally guessing. Brad, wasn't our first interaction during COVID at Admin Mastermind?
That's probably, yes, it is.
Come on.
Yeah, my mind's like a sieve. I mean, I'm glad that you have that memory locked in.
Meeting Brad Hughes. That was it. So, Brad, although we, only got a point and a half on this game, I think this could be something that we play with students. I would love to see if I could incorporate this during our PD that I have this week to do an icebreaker. Any ideas how you could fold this in? I mean, as an elementary principal, don't you love a good game with kiddos?
Love to see little mini whiteboards on the laps of kids on a carpet. Maybe the teacher poses a question or asks to check some thinking, gives kids an opportunity to respond independently, and the teacher can see at a glance if it's a got it or not yet question, or if it's to some example of some thinking. Also, if you're working in pairs or in small groups, you're just checking who knows who the best, and lots of laughs along the way too.
Yeah, I love that. One thing I was thinking about in our professional development that we're doing on Tuesday, which is in person, so I really would like to use this as an in-person activity, is to give everyone the opportunity to pair up and not tell them what they're pairing up about, and then give them 2 minutes to share information about themselves, knowing that they're going to be tested on that in the next segment of the game. So they're spending 2 minutes being like, okay, Brad, what's your favorite color? How old are you? Where do you live? You know, do you have children? Are you married? And having kind of them, you know, word vomit back and forth to each other, trying to gain information, and then playing something like this, maybe with easier questions to get people to celebrate some of the information they have on their colleagues that work in the same building.
It's fun when you have a match, but it's also fun when you learn something about the other person that you either didn't know or you've forgotten about. Just the power of surprise is really rich here. Great opportunity.
So fun. You know, Brad, before we wrap up, we want to definitely do the segment that is my favorite and completely your creation. We love the Sunday Spark. So we'll be right back as we wrap up with a little sparkle in our day. Hey everyone, thank you for joining us for our quiet, very casual Sunday weekly warm up. We love being able to come live every single Sunday exclusive in our private group and have conversations with our community here. Sometimes we have amazing interviews. Sometimes we bring in panels. Sometimes Brad and I just love to talk shop and hang out with all of you. We could have done a listener question. We could have done a lot of things, but instead we were able to share a few ideas of a game that might come in handy as you head into your week. Brad Hughes is going to wrap up our conversation here with a Sunday Spark. So, Brad, what do you got for us today?
I've got something that is going to be a game changer in terms of family life, transportation. And Ray, is there a vehicle parked in your driveway or a garage? And if so, what kind?
Yes, I have a Mazda CX-5. It's black. And it is a car that I call the Batman car. Whoa, but this looks cooler. What's this?
This is a flying car, Ray, that you can park in your garage, and it has lifted off on its maiden voyage. It's called the Switchblade, and for the low, low price of $200,000, you can get your hands on a flying car that you can park in your driveway. It's street legal, it's received an airworthiness certificate from the FAA, and it's ready to begin testing. You can drive it to the airport. You can deploy its wings and tail, and it can take off for a 6-minute flight 500 feet above the ground. In testing, 2,300 reservations from 57 countries and all 50 U.S. states to pre-order this Switchblade. You need an airport runway to take off and a private pilot's license to fly it. It uses unleaded gasoline, and it needs only 3 minutes to switch into flying mode. Ray, could the Switchblade be a difference maker for you? Could it be something that you would see in your driveway? Kind of a hefty price tag, but certainly exciting to think about the possibilities.
Yeah. Can we assume that in this conversation, someone gave me a gift card and I could buy it with the gift card? Let's just go with that. Money, no object.
Oh, absolutely. And I also need
a pilot's license.
Well, there's a lot that you have to get sorted here. So the cost of the Switchblade, your pilot's license. I think that there's some incredible Teach Better affiliation and branding that the Switchblade could be the official vehicle of the next Teach Better conference or the Teach Better cruise. You know, imagine if I wasn't able to make the Teach Better cruise on time. I'm seeing it sail away. I've got my Switchblade. You know, I just have to, you know, tootle on down the runway, and I can, you know, I don't know, maybe. I guess it'd have to be a runway on the cruise ship. I didn't think that through, but anyway. Well, wait,
the cruise ship is big, Brad. We are going to have a few thousand educators together as we're headed out to the Teach Better cruise, partnering with Teach Your Heart Out this summer. So I'm sure you could land on the dock or the deck. We'll clear out the chairs for a second, let you land. It'd be fine.
Oh, that's perfect. I mean, when it comes to flying, I mean, it pays to be prepared. You don't want to wing it in that case. But you know, I'm thinking of when we're back to school tomorrow. If we're looking to connect over coffee or the water cooler conversation, you can talk about the Switchblade that you saw on the Sunday Weekly Warm Up, or maybe you can engage your kids in some fantastic transportation ideas. You know, building on what they do and what they know, maybe there's an opportunity for some formative assessment. What do we know about transportation, and what do we know about the future of it? The Switchblade is coming soon.
Yeah, that's a big conversation. Do those KWLs, right? What do you know? What do you want to know? And what have you learned? You know, do a KWL on this this car. I like it. Yeah, Brad, I would absolutely. More importantly, though, I would love to see one just like be on the road and see one go by or see one fly by. I think this is a great, great element. I wonder, I'm going to look into it more, how many it seats. I got to figure that out. But I do have a green Teach Better Green phone case now. I was drinking a Sprite earlier. I just want to encourage everybody to incorporate green in their life as much as possible as they head into a holiday weekend.
And make sure that you're sharing the Teach Better love with those green hearts on all the social media. Just let people know that you're a Teach Better family member and connect people with the Sunday Weekly Warm-Up and all of the great things that Teach Better has to offer.
So wonderful. Friends, it is Sunday. And so we know that you're headed into a big week ahead. But in case you missed it, somebody on the screen sent out a Black Friday deal a little early. So we have now extended our Black Friday deals. If any of you are interested in saving 15% on swag over at teachbetterswag.com, 50% on our Teach Better Academy membership, or 50% of our Edu Creator Club membership, feel free to go do that using code GREENHEARTS with an S at the end. You also can get all that information over at teachbetter.com. And of course, we will have our today morning show happening a few days this week as we head into the holiday ahead. So for those of you not in the US, we apologize for the little change in our weekly calendar, but we will be here next Sunday for our Sunday show with an incredible interview. So, Brad, I'm very excited for next week's opportunity. I know today was a little bit sillier, but we got good things to come.
I really hope that the week ahead is great for you and everyone watching and listening, whether you're joining us live or later. And, you know, blessings for a wonderful holiday ahead. Make sure that you're taking every opportunity that you can to reconnect with the people, places, and things that bring you the most joy, the most satisfaction, and above all, the most peace at this time of year.
Brad and I are very thankful for all of you. We will see you next Sunday for the Sunday Weekly Warm-Up. Bye, guys.
Bye.